It's good to be here tonight. Appreciate all of you coming to our prayer meeting. We appreciate our visitors tonight. Always thankful to have this because this really helps my week. To get to come. I pastored a church for a little over 10 years, and we never had a midweek service. They met on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and all the time that I was there, I missed that. And so I'm thankful that we meet here in the middle of the week, and it kind of gives us a boost to go on. I want to go ahead tonight and say the things that I would like to say. And Brother Ernie, I think there might be somebody out there that's looking for help or something. Say the things that I want to say, and then perhaps we can come together in the altar and have prayer together. I'm going to, if the Lord will allow me, I'm going to try from now until we have our revival meetings on Wednesday night to talk about revival and for us to pray for revival, for our revival meetings, and try to get ready ourselves for what we have coming up. And if everything works out, it sounds like that we are probably going to hold a tent meeting next month, in the month of May, like we did last year, and then just a couple of weeks later have our regular summer, our annual summer revival meeting here. And so I wanted to just take a little time tonight, and I hope that the Lord will help me to stir up your thoughts this evening, and to excite, because we should be an excited people. And I wanted to share something that Simple, Robert Simple, recorded. He wrote the history of the Baptist of Virginia in 1810. And I spoke last week about the history of the Baptist here in Kentucky. And there certainly has been mighty revival that has taken place here in the state of Kentucky in the past. And there was mighty revival among our Baptist ancestors that took place in Virginia and in other places as well. But I wanted to try to take you back in your minds to days gone by, and I want to share with you what he recorded about what was happening in Virginia in the late 1700s. And this was something that two of our forefathers of the past, two preachers, James Reed and Samuel Harris, they were laboring, and the church that was called Upper Spotsylvania. Now, the church that organized in Virginia here just a few years ago took that name, Upper Spotsylvania. But the original Upper Spotsylvania Baptist Church organized about, I believe, 1767. And so that was about the time frame that we're talking about here, and it's talking about things that these preachers experienced from their labors. And it says on page 22 of this book, it says, it was not uncommon at their great meetings for many hundreds of men to camp on the ground. Now, it didn't say 100 men, it said many hundreds of men. This was a camp meeting type of situation. And it says that it was not uncommon at their great meetings for many hundreds of men to camp on the ground in order to be present the next day. See, type of dedication to God's word affecting people now like it seems like it once did. It says the night meetings through the great work of God continued very late. And so they were meeting for evening worship like we do when we have our revival meetings. And it says that they continued very late. The ministers would scarcely have an opportunity to sleep. I don't do much of that anyway, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal, I guess. It says sometimes the floor would be covered with persons struck down under conviction of sin. It frequently happened that when they would retire to rest at a late hour, they would be under the necessity of arising again through the earnest cries of the penitent. There were instances of persons traveling more than 100 miles to come to one of these meetings. To go 40 or 50 was not uncommon. Now, I believe that, when I study history, and I believe I may have made this statement last week perhaps, but, when I study history, I like to read after people that wrote their history as close to the time when these things were happening as possible. And Robert Semple wrote his history of what was going on in Virginia when these things were still relatively fresh. And so he had great access to things. And so I believe that we can, although we have to understand and realize that these history accounts, these historical books and accounts that have been written, they're not as trustworthy as the scriptures. They were not written under divine inspiration the way that the scriptures were, but I believe that what Semple recorded here is probably pretty factual. And so he spoke about these great camp meetings that were going on. And I told some of you to get an ink pen out if you have one, if you have something to scribble on. Because when I best, the thought came to me that I thought, I bet that we could take the alphabet. I bet that we could take every letter in the alphabet and we could write something from each letter of the alphabet that would be something that we need in order to see revival. And so I began thinking about that, and so I recorded, or I wrote down something from each letter of the alphabet, and so I called it the revival alphabet. So we're going to go through this, and if you think of something else, I want you to write this down. Now, I know that everybody here tonight knows their ABCs. And so we'll just start at the beginning and go through this. Now, my word for the letter A was something that I believe that we need, is we need attendance. We need attendance. And, when I thought about that, and I thought about how that Brother Brother Semple, I got to visit his grave actually last year. He's buried there at Brewington Church in Virginia. And I thought about when he wrote this, he talked about these people that would travel 50 to 100 miles walking or on horseback or in a wagon without interstate highways, you know, roads cut through the woods, meager means of travel. They would travel that far to get to these meetings, to attend them. And in order to be there for the following service the next day, they would sleep on the ground. Now they were dedicated in their attendance, and I've tried a few times when we were getting ready to have our revival meetings to try to encourage people to make a commitment to attend every service of our revival. You know, we don't, that's really not that many. We start on a Friday night and go through until the next Sunday. So do that again to encourage everybody that, you know, that possibly can to be in attendance and to encourage people that have children under their care that need to be here to bring them to attend the revival. There's a lot that happens from attendance. You know, people that attend, they hear the gospel, and they're in an environment where they need to be. And so that was my word for attendance, or for the letter A, rather. My word for the letter B was that we need a burden. We need to get a burden on our hearts. We need to be burdened for these who are lost. My word for the letter C was that we need to contribute, all of us. You know, it's not just, this is not just, a revival is not just something where the preachers work. There's something for all of us to do, and we need to all find our place in it, and we need to pray, Lord, you know, what contribution can I make? How can I contribute to this? What would you have me to do? My word for the letter D was that we need desire. We need to really desire revival. The Bible says if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that He'll give us the desires of our heart. And it's something that we need to desire. Listen, if we don't really want revival, then we're not likely to have it, are we? And so we need to have that great desire. My word for letter E was that we need energy. I realize that we have human bodies, and I know that they get tired. But I believe that God can energize us. I believe that He can give us the strength that we need. You know, through the years, I've preached revivals and got up every morning and gone to work and be, you know, back there that night in revival again. And I know from experience that God can give you the strength to go through that. He can give you the energy that you need to go through that. For F, my word was fire. We need to get fired up, don't we? I mean, we need to be on fire for the Lord. We don't need to be lethargic. We need to be on fire. For G, I just put God. He's the one that sends revival. We need heaven-sent revival. For H, we need to hunger. We need to hunger for it. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And some of these, I know, work together. Hunger and desire, you could say essentially the same thing. I mean, we need to hunger for, we need to have a holy hunger. We need to hunger for the things of God. For the letter I, my word is impelled. We need to be impelled. And that word means to be driven forward, to be urged on, or to be moved by any force or power. And so we need to encourage each other. You know, we need to urge each other and encourage one another. And the Bible teaches us that we are to do that. So we, you know, what we need is we need the Holy Spirit to be our force. That's what we need to drive us and to motivate us. My word for the letter J is jolt. I think we need to be shaken. That's just my belief. The word jolt means to shock or shake something by a sudden jerk. And I think that we need that. We need to be jolted. We need to be woke up. We need God to just shake our foundation and wake us up that we'll that we'll be ready to serve, that we'll be ready for revival. K, the word I chose was knit. And I'm not talking about knitting. I don't have any idea how to knit. I'm talking about what the word means. What does it mean to knit something? It means to unite closely. And the example given was to let our hearts be knit together in love. And the Bible tells us that our hearts are to be knit together in love. So we need a unity. L, labor. You know, the Bible says, and I believe in 1 Corinthians 3, that we are laborers together with God. There is a work to be done. And, you know, it's not difficult, if you really think about it, in our day and age, it's not nearly as hard for us to hold a meeting as it was for the people that I read about in the 1760s and 70s in the state of Virginia. We have so many modern conveniences that it's really not difficult for us to have a meeting. I mean, we can drive here in our cars. We don't have to camp out on the ground. We, you know, most of us live where we can, when the meeting's on home and we have a lot of modern things that make that possible. But we've got to work. I mean, we've got to labor towards. The Bible talks time and time again about us doing the work of the Lord. And so, again, we need to all find our place and, you know, ask the Lord to show us what our task would be, you know, what our labor would be. You know, if the Lord truly doesn't want you to do anything but come and take a seat, then do it. But I just believe the Lord asks more of us than that. I believe that He has a work for us to do. M, meditation. When we come, let's say we're here on a Tuesday night. Boy, the Lord comes by and we have a good service. We don't need to just forget about that the next day. We need to meditate. We need to keep it in our mind. We need to think about what the Lord and has done for us and keep it fresh and keep it before us. We don't need to leave all charged up and come back by the time we get back the next night, just be dead as a doornail. We don't need to do that. We need to keep the things of God before us. I believe that sinners, when they're seeking the Lord to be saved, I believe they need to be encouraged to keep it on their mind. You know, don't come to a revival meeting or don't come to a church service convicted of your sins and pray and ask God to save you, and if you don't get saved, don't leave and go sit in front of a TV and watch movies and play video games and just forget all about it. You need to keep it on your mind. And we need to do the same thing as Christians. We need to meditate and keep before us the things that are going on. Notify people. Tell your friends about it. Give notice that, hey, we're in revival here at Fairview Memorial this week. Let people know what we're doing. My word was obedience. And I don't really think that needs much explanation. We need to obey the Lord. We don't need to quench the Spirit of God. I couldn't just put one word for the letter P. I put prayer. We need prayer. We need preaching. We need participation. We need patience. That as the Bible says, that when we've done the will of God, that we wait for the promise. We wait for the Lord to do His work. We need quietness. For the letter Q, we need quietness. That is that we need to take time away. When we're in our revival meetings, we need to take time away from the everyday quick pace of life and spend some quiet time with God. Go into the closet and take some time to spend. There are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord, to tell Him all my troubles, all alone. And so we need that quiet time with the Lord. I believe the devil would just try to cloud our minds with everything. But sometimes we need to, you know, Jesus would do that. Jesus would just steal away. And He would go and He would spend time talking to the Heavenly Father. We need readiness. We need to be ready. Be ready to serve the Lord. Sacrifice. We've got to be willing to sacrifice. You know, I think one thing that plagues us is I believe somewhere along the way, and maybe it's because we live the much more easy life in the day that we live, but I believe somewhere along the way, as the people of God, we got into the mindset of service without sacrifice. But that's never been the way, that's never the way that it's been. If we're going to really serve the Lord, then we've got to make some sacrifices. There's things that we have to give up, that we might want to do, but we've got to be willing to lay those things aside. You know, I know there's things that come up, and we all understand that. There's things that come up in life, but I believe those that want to be here during our revival effort, those that really want to be here, you'll see them here. They may have to rearrange their schedule. They may have to do they may have to lay some things aside, but Jesus sure didn't. He didn't serve his Heavenly Father without sacrifice, did he? And I don't believe that we can either. The letter T, we need tenaciousness. Now, we probably don't use that word every day, but we need to be tenacious. And that means the quality of holding fast. Unwillingness to quit, resign, or let go. Boy, the devil would like for us to just quit, wouldn't he? He would like nothing better than for us to just give up. But we don't need to. We don't need to quit. We need unity. We need to be of one mind, of one accord. And the Bible says that about the people of God just before the great day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people were saved. It says they were together. They were of one mind, of one accord. They had unity of heart. They were praying. They were having unified prayer. And the great power of God came upon his church, and there were thousands of souls that got saved. We need vision. Vision. Because without it, people perish. We need willingness. We need to be willing servants. Be willing to do what the Lord would have us to do. For the letter Y, I put yearning. And there again, that goes hand in hand with hunger and desire. You know, revival is something that, with everything that's going on in the world, we should be yearning for this. We should be yearning for a great outpouring of God upon us. I'm going to tell you something. In my estimation, that's the only hope. That's the only hope that we have. If we don't turn back to God and get His power poured out upon us, I think we know where we're headed as a country. And last, we need zealousness. We need to be zealous in the work of the Lord. We need to be hitting the streets. We need to be zealous in our attempts to have a revival meeting. We need to be doing these things. We need to be driven. We need to be inviting and trying to, you know, get people to come and to hear the gospel. Now, I'm sure that you all saw the letter I missed. I just couldn't think of anything for X. I tried and tried. When I think of X, the only thing that came to my mind was X-ray, and I just couldn't make that fit with revival. I just couldn't figure out a way that we need an X-ray. But, that starts with an E. So. Xylophone. Yeah, I don't know what. But anyway, I hope that we can have these things, and that we can see God's great work. I know you hear this a lot, but I just am convinced that God can do the same thing today that He did in the past. One of my pastor friends one time had somebody actually get upset with him because the church was getting ready for a revival meeting. And imagine that, somebody getting upset with a pastor. The church was getting ready for a revival meeting, and he you know, he told the church, he said, we can have it. We can have revival, you know, like people used to. I mean, he really tried to encourage the church, and when it didn't happen that way, this man got upset with him. You know, it wasn't the preacher's fault. Well, I mean, it may have been. It may have been partly, may have been everybody's fault. I know it's not God's fault, because I believe he wants to give us that. I know that God wants to save souls, and I believe he wants to revive his people. You know, sometimes I think that we want to have a revival meeting, and we want to see sinners just, you know, by the scores, just come up and fall down at the mourner's bench and cry out to God when we're not very warmed up ourselves. And I believe that the closer that we get to the Lord, the more they're going to be affected. I believe the Lord's going to use that. So you take your list and you look at that, and I'm sure that you probably would come up with some different words than I did, but there's many elements. There's many elements involved in revival. And I don't believe it ever comes until people really put their hearts into it. I mean, we've just got to really put our hearts into it. I remember times, I'm sure some of you have experienced this too, but I remember times where I grew up in Indianapolis among the churches there, and especially I have memories of Fellowship Church there, because that's where I attended the most. But I remember late night services. I remember people being there till midnight or maybe later, because people were seeking the Lord. And they would stay, and they would just stand around them, and they would sing, and they would pray, and they would sing, and they would pray till late at night. And then the next evening, you'd see those people right back. And I mean, these were people that worked. They had to make a living. They had jobs that they had to go to. But the netbacks, and you know, we need that type of dedication. Anybody have anything on your heart before we pray? Really? I've never heard this congregation so quiet. Anybody have a request? Amen. Let's remember this. Any other requests? You know, that's a wonderful point. And you can believe this or not. It'll be your choice. But I'll tell you something that I believe happens before revival comes. And that's repentance among God's people. I believe there's repentance that takes place among the church before the great blessing of revival. And don't, you know, there's no need for us to try to convince each other that we don't have anything to repent of. Because we do always. We always do. And anybody else? Yes.
We have to come with the right attitude.
Amen.
Think, oh, well, it's our yearly revival, it'll be over. We have to get in a position where God uses to have an attitude, and the Christian has to have a revival. And we've got to get our, like you said, we have to get ourselves ready. We can't wait until that first night. I guess as I've seen the years that I grew up, maybe the church wasn't where it ought to be. The preacher would preach the church for a week and a half, and the preacher said, center another week and a half, and then have a revival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, the attitude that people just been there, where it ought to be. It's all about me, and that's it.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You know,
Amen. Bless you, Brother Ronnie. I actually like your word better than mine. Bible says God's no respecter of persons, but I believe He is a respecter of attitudes.
I thought of a song from Jesus Houston. It's not in any of our books, but we still occasionally sing it. And I thought of the song, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Bless you, Brother Strode. Anyone else? Anything on your heart? We need to pray for the sick. Pray for the lost. Pray for each other. Pray for Holy Ghost power. Conviction. I heard somebody one time say that he didn't really like to hear people talk about praying in the past. He didn't make me sway away from it. I believe we can pray the power down. Amen. Amen. Remember our oldest son Nick and his family.
Crossed my mind many times. Do I stay home while he's that happen, we have two bid members, I guess it just got to have a tax rate.
Amen, amen. Everybody that will come in and... I want you to know I love you all, and I love the Lord, and I believe we can see great things. I know God can do great things. Anybody, anything else on your heart? Let's just all pray.